Welcome to Primo Medico Expert Physicians Talk, health explained in an understandable way. In this podcast channel, we talk about selected medical topics in collaboration with leading medical specialists. The following content comes directly from the respective specialist and is presented by a digitally recorded voice, expertly scrutinized, clearly explained. Primo Medico, health to listen to. Prostate cancer often affects older men. The good news is, if prostate cancer is detected in time, there are good chances of a cure. And besides surgery, radiation therapy also plays a major role. I am speaking about this treatment option today with Professor Daniel Ebersolt. He is the director and chief physician of the University Clinic for Radiation Oncology at the Inselspital, Bern University Hospital. Professor Ebersolt, in which cases does it make sense to treat prostate cancer with radiation instead of surgery?
Yes, that primarily depends on two factors. The first question you always have to ask is the tumor even active enough that it needs to be treated at all? So regardless of whether surgery or radiation is required, should it be treated at all? There are different activity levels for these tumors, and accordingly, for less active tumors, there is certainly the option to simply continue monitoring without treating. That means you really need to have relevant activity to even need treatment. That is one thing. The other is that the patient should be in good general health with a life expectancy of at least 10 more years. That means for patients who have other serious illnesses, where one must expect that they will live for less than 10 years, it is not always worth performing any treatment at all.
What are the requirements for patients to receive radiation instead of surgery?
That is a very common question that patients are interested in. I always say, and this has meanwhile been proven by many studies, that the result, the overall result regarding tumor control, is independent of whether one is operated on or treated with radiation, and that already relieves many patients. For the decision-making process between radiation or surgery, the different spectrum of side effects is much more decisive. This means that both procedures result in different risks and different side effects, and that is what one should use as a guide to choose one therapy option over the other.
That leads me to my next question, because the prostate is important for potency. It is located by the bladder near the bowel. Isn't it difficult to radiate a prostate tumor without damaging these healthy areas around it?
Over the last 10 to 20 years, there have been enormous advances in radiation technology. This now allows us to very effectively spare both the rectum, which lies right behind the prostate, and the bladder. Another important issue is the urethra. It runs right through the middle of the prostate and usually receives the same dose as the entire prostate. And we have to ensure that the patient has normal bladder function, meaning they can urinate reasonably well and do not have a significantly weakened urine stream. These are such important conditions for assessing the risks there.
And what methods do you have to choose from? There are many different ways to treat prostate cancer with radiation therapy.
On one hand, there are the various methods of so-called external beam radiation, where the beam comes from the outside and penetrates the patient. And then there are the methods of so-called brachytherapy, where radiation is applied from the inside. Regarding the choice of method, various factors play a role. On one hand, the situation is important, as I just described regarding bladder function, how well a patient can urinate, and whether there are certain irritative symptoms there or not. On the other hand, it is also very important whether the tumor is confined to the prostate. As a rule, external radiation can almost always be performed, and nowadays, this is increasingly done using the stereotactic method. This is a highly precise form of treatment, usually performed with the CyberKnife, a stereotactic machine that allows the bladder and rectum to be very well protected. What is also still offered internationally is so-called brachytherapy, where radiation is applied from the inside. However, this method is semi-invasive. That is also a reason why it is increasingly being abandoned in favor of this stereotactic radiation.
How does this brachytherapy work from the inside?
There, under spinal anesthesia, radioactive seeds, which are small metal pellets, are inserted, which then remain in the prostate and deliver their radiation dose there. It is a semi-invasive procedure, only semi-invasive in that the prostate is not removed, but still invasive in that material must be inserted into the prostate.
And how do the other radiation treatments work? The ones you mentioned as external. What are the treatment steps involved? How often does this have to be done? And do patients have to stay in the clinic as inpatients?
The be-all and end-all of radiation therapy is the treatment planning. For this, we always need cross-sectional imaging. This is usually both a computed tomography and a magnetic resonance imaging scan, which then also forms the basis for carrying out the actual radiation planning. This means that the radiation oncologist then marks on these images exactly where the prostate is, what exactly should be irradiated, and what should not be irradiated, meaning which organs should be protected. What should also be added is that, as a rule, markers are implanted into the prostate. These are very small pieces of metal to make them visible on the radiation device. This is a technique that is then available to allow for very, very precise radiation. Once the entire plan is complete and the patient begins radiation, depending on the type of treatment, between 5 and 40 sessions must be performed. Whenever possible, we try to keep the number of sessions as low as we can. This is possible when we can perform the treatment using the CyberKnife. In that case, the treatment is carried out in 5 sessions every other day. This means that the total duration of the therapy is about 10 days. If the treatment cannot be performed with the CyberKnife, but rather with a standard linear accelerator, the treatment will take about 4 to 8 weeks, depending on how much dose can be delivered per session.
And is general anesthesia required for that?
No, for external radiation, no anesthesia or local anesthetic is necessary at all. Placing these markers is also done without anesthesia. You feel a certain prick at the moment these markers are implanted, but that does not require anesthesia, and the radiation itself, when it takes place during this entire treatment period, is an outpatient procedure without any anesthesia at all.
So, what actually happens to the irradiated tumor cells? Do they dissolve?
That is a very good question. There are often incorrect ideas about this. We do not work with heat, but with a type of energy that is absorbed by the tumor cells and causes damage there, which then leads to the death of these tumor cells. This means that these tumor cells actually dissolve. Not all at once, it always takes a certain amount of time until the very last tumor cell has dissolved. But that is exactly the mechanism we can kickstart through the radiation.
And what are the risks or side effects of this radiation therapy?
Various irritation symptoms are at the forefront. What we have, meanwhile, under very good control thanks to this technology, or significantly better under control than 10 years ago, are certain irritation symptoms in the bowel and the bladder. We rarely see side effects there anymore. If side effects do occur, the patient might feel an increased urge to have a bowel movement or an increased urge to urinate, needing to go to the bathroom more often. Some patients have to get up once or twice more during the night. Where we, as mentioned at the beginning, see somewhat more side effects, that is regarding the urethra, which passes through the prostate, there can also be some pain when urinating. If that should become too intense, then anti-inflammatory medication can be used. We see that in about 10 to 20% of patients, they experience such irritation symptoms during treatment. These usually subside after 10 to 14 days. In about 5% of cases, certain irritation symptoms occur later, even after years, which, if they become more severe, can also be treated with medication. Regarding sexual function, it is generally the case that patients notice a weakening of sexual function immediately after radiation, which often recovers. Sometimes it does not return to the level it was at before treatment, but it is still good enough that having sexual intercourse remains possible. There are also good studies now compared to surgery, where one can say that radiation is slightly ahead, in that overall sexual health after radiation is on average better for patients than after surgery.
And the big question, of course, is how good are the chances of recovery with radiation for prostate cancer?
The chances of recovery are generally very good. It depends significantly on how active the tumor was at the time of diagnosis. For patients with a low to moderately active tumor, the survival chances and overall chances of recovery are somewhere between 90 and 100%, so very, very good prospects. If the tumor is somewhat more advanced and shows a highly increased activity level, then the overall chances of recovery are still somewhere between 70 and 90%, so overall a very good chance of recovery. What I also always tell my patients is that even if a relapse should occur, whether it is within the prostate, in the lymph nodes, or in the form of metastasis, there are always more highly efficient measures to get the tumor under control again in this situation as well. I believe those are encouraging words that are very important for patients at the time of diagnosis.
Thank you very much for your explanations, Professor Ebersold.
You are very welcome.
This has been the Specialist Physician Talk, brought to you by Primo Medico, which is the premier choice for medical specialists and expert physicians. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to our program. For more comprehensive and detailed information concerning the topic of medical specialists, please visit us online at primomedico.com. Join us again next time when we return with our popular segment, which is called Medicine for Your Ears.